Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you ever passed by a house that was ravaged by fire, demolished by a tornado, rocked by an earthquake, or destroyed in any other way, and left a desolate pile of ruins? If so, you know the heaviness of such desolation, especially if it was the house of someone you love, especially if it was your own. Yet the heartache of a desolate house does not come from physical disaster alone. Our sins can be just as devastating to a house, leaving it a desolate place to live and be. Infidelity, adultery, sexual immorality of every kind, possessiveness, abuse, neglect, apathy, abandonment, disrespect and dishonor, ungratefulness, anger, bitterness, resentment, drunkenness, addiction, divorce. The list can go on and on. Spouses, parents, children, our sins truly make our house a desolate place to be. Such heartache Jeremiah felt as he spoke to the priests and prophets and all the people, saying, "This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant." The house of Israel had grown complicit in their sin. And so they were on an inevitable course of facing the Lord's wrath, as they did in Shiloh many centuries before. Yet these words of warning fell upon deaf ears. To the people, this proclamation of judgment seemed unthinkable, impossible even. Can you imagine God, first of all, calling for himself a people from all the nations of the earth, then establishing them in the land that he provides, making his dwelling among them in a house with his own name on it, filling that house, their homes, and their lives with his good gifts, only to destroy it all? The temple was the place where God's glory dwelt, and Jerusalem was his holy city. There was no way he would allow such a thing to happen, much less bring it himself. The problem was, though, the people had forgotten what the temple was all about. God's glory did dwell within the temple, but his gracious presence among his people is meant to remind them of his desire to make them holy, so that they could be with him. That God himself had crossed over the separation that their sin had caused, for they could not come to God otherwise. He cleansed them that they may dwell with him forever. Ultimately, the temple pointed them to the promise of the coming Messiah who cleanses them from within, so that they would need a temple no longer. But instead of rejoicing in the penitent reception of God's presence, they took the Lord's house for granted and treated it as if it were some sort of talisman that would guarantee their safety and protection even from the Lord's wrath. So certain and secure were they that they felt no further need to listen to the Lord and chased after their own vain thoughts and false idols, spiraling deeper and deeper into sin. Even when he told them things could not go on as they were, they were reveling in their sin, and unless they repented, God would have to bring his wrath down upon his house, just as he had brought it down on the tabernacle in Shiloh. So burdened was Jeremiah that even under the threat of death, Jeremiah couldn't help but continue calling them to repentance, as he longed to proclaim to them that other word of the Lord. "Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you." He couldn't bear to see the Lord's house brought to desolation. And this is what the Lord desires himself, not to bring us to destruction and desolation, but to show us steadfast love, unending mercy. He clearly reveals this in Jesus' own words as he laments, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken." Never did God wish to lose anyone. The Lord always had in mind that his magnificent plan would always focus on the house of Jerusalem, that he would choose a nation, the descendants of Abraham, to be the means through which the Christ would come into the world, knowing that those very same people would reject him, would nail him to the cross, yet for the salvation of the whole world. And here comes Jesus, the Lord himself, who so longs to be with his people, to bless Jerusalem rather than forsake it, that he approaches with great sorrow, knowing exactly what is going to happen once he gets there. Jesus laments at their hard hearts, and he weeps over them, because if they remain obstinate in their sin, there is only one inevitable outcome for them. The house of Jerusalem, even the whole world, will be destroyed and become desolate forever. And so Jesus came in human flesh, binding himself to the people that he created, who he knew would sin against him, and bring that separation between God and man. He knew that left to our own devices, that would mean our eternal damnation, eternal suffering outside of his love and grace. God's perfect plan requires Jesus to do certain things. And so Jesus has bound himself to do those things that are required in order to redeem us. Even though he is above it all, Jesus has put himself in the position where he must go on to that inevitable destination of Jerusalem and his cross. But he does not go with anger or resentment. Instead, he goes with longing in his heart. They have done nothing to deserve his love, yet he still desires to gather them to himself. He does not want them to be forsaken. And so he himself will go all the way to death, not because they reject him, but because Jesus will go in order to suffer for their sins, even the sins of the whole world. He who is sinless, the Lamb of God, goes forth to take the sins of the whole world upon himself, because he does not desire to lose any that are his. He is the true house of the Lord, the place where God's gracious presence comes to be with his people and to cleanse them from their sins. As long as a house remains in him, they will never be forsaken or destroyed. This promise is, of course, for all people who call upon the name of the Lord, who trust in him for his salvation. This promise is for you. Jesus has taken all of those who called upon them, and he has made us into the new Jerusalem, a house that lives by faith forever. Ryan and Israel, today a new house begins as you too have made your vows before God and his church. As long as this life endures, sin will surely creep into your house, making it a desolate place. But you have a Lord who loves you, who does not desire to cast you off forever. Christ our Lord willingly enters your house, knowing very well what he will find there, knowing very well of your sin and what awaits him. Yet that very sin is what drives him there, is what leads him into the heart of your house, where he is determined to save you and your house. When you find yourselves in sin, turn and cry out to Him. Continually cry out to Jesus for His mercy and forgiveness, and always run to His cross, because there He waits for you. He waits for you to meet you with His grace and to restore your house to His forever. May this be true for Israel and Ryan, and may it be true for the rest of us as well. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.